Of course, perhaps the man was dead, or busy on something else, or too far away, or the information had been incorrect in the first place, and the intelligence-gathering section of the culture had got it wrong. But if not, then that man would be the one obvious person to send after something hiding in the command system tunnels. It was part of the mind's very construction, at every level, to believe that there was no such thing as bad knowledge, except in very relative terms. But it really did wish that it hadn't had that bit of information in its memory banks. It would just as soon not have known anything about this man, this changer who knew Shah's world, and probably worked for the Adirans. Perversely, it found itself wishing it knew this man's name. But with any luck, he would be irrelevant, or the culture would get here first, or the Dra'ezan being would recognize a fellow mind in trouble and help, or anything. In darkness, the mind waited. Hundreds of those planets were empty. The 100 million room towers were there, the little rooms, the cabinets and the trays and the cards and the spaces for the numbers and letters were there. But nothing was written, nothing held on any of the cards. Sometimes the mind liked to imagine travelling down the narrow spaces between the cabinets, one of its remote drones floating between the banked files of memory in the thin corridors, from room to room, for floor after floor, kilometre after kilometre of a buried continents of rooms, filled in oceans of rooms, levelled ranges, felled forests, covered deserts of rooms. These whole systems of dark planets, those trillions of square kilometres of blank paper, represented the mind's future, the spaces it would fill in its life to come, if it had one. Chapter 7. A Game of Damage.
Damage. The game banned everywhere. Tonight, in that unprepossessing building across the square under the dome, they'll gather, the players of the Eve of Destruction. The most select group of rich psychotics in the human galaxy, here to play the game that is to real life what soap opera is to high tragedy. This is the biport city of Evenalth, Vavach Orbital. The very same Vavach Orbital that in about 11 standard hours from now is due to be blasted into its component atoms as the Adiran culture war in this part of the galaxy, near the Glittercliff and Sullen Gulf, reaches a new high in standing by your principles regardless, and a new low in common sense. It's that imminent destruction that's attracted these scatological vultures here, not the famous megaships or the azure-blue technological miracles of the Circle Sea. No. These people are here because the whole orbital is doomed to be blown away shortly, and they think it's kind of amusing to play Damage, an ordinary card game with a few embellishments to make it attractive to the mentally disturbed in places on the verge of annihilation. They've played on worlds about to suffer massive comet or meteorite strikes, in volcanic calderas about to blow, in cities due for nuclear bombardment in ritualistic wars, in asteroids heading for the center of stars, in front of moving cliffs of ice or lava, inside mysterious alien spacecraft discovered empty and deserted and set on courses aiming them into black holes, in vast palaces about to be sacked by android mobs, and just about everywhere you can think of you'd rather not want to be immediately after the players leave. It might seem like a strange sort of way to get your kicks, but it takes all sorts to make a galaxy, I guess. So here they've come, these hyper-rich deadbeats, in their rented ships or their own cruisers. Right now they're sobering up and coming down, going through plastic surgery or behaviour therapy or both, to make them acceptable in what passes for normal society. Even in these rarefied circles, after months spent in whatever expensive and unlikely debauchery or perversion particularly appeals to them or happens to be in fashion at the moment. At the same time, they or their minions are scraping together their Aoish credits, all actual, no notes, and scouting hospitals, asylums, and free stores for new lives. Here too have come the hangers-on, the damage groupies, the fortune seekers, the past failures of the game desperate for another try if they can only raise the money and the lives, and Damage's very own special sort of human debris, the Motis, victims of the game's emotional fallout. Mind junkies, who only exist to lap at the crumbs of ecstasy and anguish falling from the lips of their heroes, the players of the game. Nobody knows exactly how all these different groups hear about the game, or even how they all get here in time, but the word goes out to those who really need to or want to hear about it, and like ghouls they come, ready for the game and the destruction. Originally, damage was played on such occasions because only during the breakdown of law and morality, and the confusion and chaos normally surrounding final events, could the game be carried out in anything remotely resembling part of the civilized galaxy, which, believe it or not, the players like to think they are part of. Now, the subsequent Nova, world-busting or other cataclysm is seen as some sort of metaphysical symbol for the mortality of all things, and as the lives involved in a full game are all volunteers, a lot of places, like good old pleasure-oriented permissive Vavatch, let the game take place with official blessing from the authorities. Some people say it's not the game it used to be, even that it's become something of a media event, but I say it's still a game for the mad and the bad. The rich and the uncaring, but not the careless. The unhinged, but well-connected. People still die in damage, and not just the lives either, or the players. It's been called the most decadent game in history. About all you can say in the game's defense is that it, rather than reality, occupies the warped minds of some of the galaxy's more twisted people. Gods know what they would get up to if it wasn't there. And if the game does any good, apart from reminding us, as if we needed reminding, how crazy the bipedal, oxygen-breathing carboniform can become, it does occasionally remove one of the players and frighten the rest for a while. In these arguably insane times, any lessening or attenuation of madness is maybe something to be grateful for. I'll be filing another report again sometime during the course of the game, from within the auditorium, if I can get in there. But in the meantime, goodbye and take care. This is Sarble the Eye, Ivanauth City, Vavatch.